Well, welcome again to worship in week 7 of our encounters with Christ. If you read the resurrection stories, and prior to his ascension, there were many different personal encounters with Jesus. There was the encounter of Mary Magdalene with Jesus in the garden, the encounter with Peter and the others when they were in the boat. And who could forget the encounter that doubting Thomas had with Jesus? Well, this week we're going to take a look at two dedicated followers of Christ. These men were not part of the 12 disciples, but as we will see, they were obviously close friends of the disciples and very devoted to Jesus. So we go back to our scriptures. Now that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" See, these men were sad. They were feeling blue. They were absolutely down in the dumps. The scripture says their faces were downcast. Another way to translate the original text is to say that their faces were twisted with grief. You know, have you ever felt so sad that you just grimaced, that your face was just, Their faces were twisted with grief. And Jesus walks up to the travelers and they don't recognize who he is. And he basically says, "Hey, what's up? What's going on, guys?" And I love this response by these guys. "Who are you? Have you been living under a rock? How can you not know the biggest story in Jerusalem? We're talking front page news, the lead story on the 11 o'clock news. It would be all over social media. How could you not know?" And Jesus plays dumb, asking them, what do you mean? And so in response, the travelers go on to tell Jesus about Jesus. Isn't that something? I think there are some people in this world that would tell Jesus something about Jesus. No, that's not what you said, right? The traveler said, "Jesus was this really great guy that we followed. We heard Jesus teach amazing things from the scriptures. We really believe that Jesus was going to be the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel. But he was killed by the Romans." And then the scripture says they go on to share with Jesus strange reports from the women who claimed to see angels and that the angels said that Jesus was alive. And these men had also heard that Peter and John ran to the tomb, saw that it was empty and that there was indeed no Jesus. And the way you would hear them talk, the way they talked about how they knew Jesus before his death. And despite all of these reports of Jesus being alive, these men were still downfaced. For them, they thought the story had ended. That this movement was over, that Jesus had been defeated by death. And then Jesus says to them, "How foolish you are. And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself." Jesus said, "Weren't you taught about the Messiah as kids? Didn't Isaiah write in his scriptures the Messiah would suffer? Didn't Jesus, meaning himself, teach you that there was going to be suffering and death? Didn't Jesus say that there was going to be more to his death? Didn't he say the temple would rise again after 3 days? And he pretty much says, you're a little slow on the uptake, aren't you? But you know, there's been many times in my life when I've been a little slow on the uptake. Times when I just didn't get something and then suddenly the light bulb came on. And here we see these two guys who were on the road so upset by the situation that they were blinded with grief. They were so blinded with grief, they couldn't see that Jesus was there, right there in their situation. They had quickly abandoned what was taught in the Scriptures. And because they had gone away from the Scriptures and were caught up in what happened in the day, they couldn't see Jesus right in front of them. They thought their situation was hopeless, but what? Jesus was there the whole time. And I think this is very interesting because Jesus himself said he would never leave us or forsake us. And we know Jesus is very true to his word because even today, Jesus is among us in so many ways. Jesus is alive and living in the pages of our Scriptures. Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit, the advocate, part of the Holy Trinity. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus lives within our hearts. And then we, as the church, we are the body of Christ. We are his hands and feet in this world. So many times in our lives, Jesus becomes a stranger to us. And it usually happens in a time of crisis, a time when things are rough and we wonder, where is God in all of this? But yet in all of our troubles, Jesus will present himself to us. And like the travelers on the road to Emmaus, we don't even recognize him. You may be calling out for Jesus to come help and not realize he's standing right in front of you. Because you never know how Jesus may manifest his presence in your life. Jesus may be in the form of a stranger, a friend, a co-worker. You may want a sign from God. You may want an answer to a problem. And the whole time, Jesus may be standing right in front of you. You might find comfort and see Jesus in the smile of a young child. You may hear his voice in the wisdom of a grandparent. And we have to understand that Jesus can appear to us when we least expect him and in ways we may not recognize him. And in our Emmaus story, two guys who are in disbelief cannot even see Jesus in front of them. And in their grief, Jesus is telling them to do what? Go back to the Bible. Go back to his teachings. You see, no matter where you are in life, no matter what troubles you have in your life, you need to continually to go back to the teachings of Christ, to go back to the Scriptures of the prophets, to go to God's holy word. If you ever say, Jesus, I'm in trouble. I don't know where to turn. What should I do? Step one, Jesus said, go back to the Scriptures. You might say, Jesus, my child has made some wrong turns in their lives. What should I do? Go back to God's word. Jesus, I found out I've got a rare disease. How could this happen to me? What should I do? Go back to God's word. Jesus, this world is in chaos. There's murder and war, and politicians are making it worse. What do I do? Go back to God's word. When we go back to what Jesus said in the Bible, we'll find out he said there will be days like this. He said we're going to have all kinds of trials, but he also taught us how to handle these things, how to put our burden on Him, how to find peace in every situation. And He told us how to have victory even in the middle of death. He told us how the story ends. And by the way, God wins. If you didn't read to the end, God wins. His followers win. We have a happily ever after. That is our promise through faith in Jesus Christ. But until that happy ending comes, Jesus said that He suffered, and therefore we will suffer for His name. And in the Scriptures, He encourages us to keep working, to keep the faith, and to keep making disciples. See, these travelers, they needed a moment to wake them up, to allow them to see Jesus in their situation. And they had a moment of awakening. And like the travelers on the road, sometimes we are slow to believe. We have the answers right in front of us in God's holy word. Yet we crumble, we crash, we get disappointed, we get angry, we get mad, we get grief-stricken. Often our emotions get the very best of us. And it happens to all of us. And if we allow our emotions and our situations to consume us, then Jesus will seem to leave us. We will start to feel distant from God. And we can even start to lose faith in our Savior and in the Father. And that is why we need to be diligent in finding ways and seeking moments that will bring us back to Jesus. That will refocus us and recenter our lives around Him. Going back to the Scriptures is one way. Gathering to worship is another way. And for the travelers on the road to Emmaus, this was their moment. Going to verse 30. When He was at the table with them, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Those words sound familiar? Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and then He disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? They had the moment they needed through the breaking of bread. A moment when the grief parted from them. A moment when they could see through the fog. A moment when the true reality of the situation set in. There have been times in my life when some things were going on. A situation when it was hard to believe and it wasn't really real until the reality set in. When we got our deployment orders after 9/11, it was a mad rush for me. I had a ton of things to do. I had to rush to train people on how to do my job because I was going to be leaving my job. Carl and I had just moved into a new house and had barely unpacked. And we also had our old house still up for sale. So I had to rush to make arrangements so Carla could manage both places while I was gone. I had to rush to get my things together for the Army, all my equipment, all my documents, all my forms. And the reality of what was happening didn't set in until the day of departure. And as we were saying goodbye to our families and getting ready to board buses to leave, I was watching some of my troops saying goodbye to their loved ones. Some of my troops were hugging their spouses and their children. And then the reality hit me. Because you see, I was a squad leader in charge of 10 people. And the reality hit me. It wasn't about leaving my house. It wasn't about leaving my job. It was that the decisions that I would make over the next year could affect whether or not those people came home to their loved ones. And I wondered, if I came back, would I have to look in their family's eyes and said, sorry, your dad didn't make it home. I'm sorry your mom isn't with us anymore. And you see, that perspective changed my deployment. It changed my mission. It changed how I did my job. Because see, it was no longer about me and about my stuff and about my things. It became about life and death and coming home. I was in the midst of the chaos. And then I had a reality check. What's really important here? And each month, we share communion as a community, as a church family. And see, taking communion isn't just about tradition. It's not just an obligation. Communion is a time for us to open our eyes and see Jesus. It's a time for us to confess our sins, to open our hearts, to renew ourselves through the Holy Spirit. Jesus asked these men, "How slow are you to believe?" Because I know some of you right now are in very hard, difficult circumstances. I know for some of you, you're really wrapped up in the chaos of life. For some of you, your life is overwhelming and changing faster than you know. For some of you, you've lost too many friends in this last year and your health problems are weighing on you. And in all of the stuff that's going on around us, and you add in the news and you add in this and you add in that, and sometimes we lose sight of Jesus. Sometimes we forget about what our real mission is. Because our real mission of people of faith is about real life and real death. And I'm not talking about our mortal death. I'm talking about our eternal life and eternal death. And you see, in the midst of everything that's going on, we have a mission. And my mission as your pastor is to open your eyes, to help you see Jesus, to help you have that moment where you wake up and say, "Ah, my heart was burning. Jesus has been here the whole time." My mission is to help you believe that Jesus is who He said He was. My mission is to help you understand that we are lost and separated from God without Him. To let you know that through Jesus we are given new life, not just life here on earth, but an eternal life. I'm here to help you open your eyes to what we should become, to a new way of living, and to put you on a real mission of making disciples of Christ. You know, I don't know whether the French were making fun of the Last Supper or not, or if it was some Greek god. I don't care. The world is the world. I know who Christ is. But you know what? Michelangelo's picture is not right. If you're in love with the Last Supper by Michelangelo, that is completely inaccurate. It is not an accurate depiction, okay? Let's not get hung up on an idol, all right? Let's understand what Lord's Supper is really about. And it makes me believe that at that Last Supper, at that Passover feast that they were celebrating, it might have been the 12 that are around that table, but I believe there were many others who were watching as well. Many other people who participated in that Last Supper. Why? Because of this story. How else would those travelers on the road to Emmaus understand what Jesus did when He broke the bread? Communion's not about what image we have of it. Communion is about opening our eyes. Communion is about experiencing the presence of Jesus Christ through these elements. And right now, wherever you are in life, Is there anybody here who doesn't need the presence of Jesus Christ? Just let me know. I think we all need the presence of Christ in our lives, don't we? And sometimes we need an awakening. And sometimes we need to part out all of our grief, all of the chaos, all of the things that are going on, and get our focus where it belongs. Back to His Word. Back to His mission. Because we have a mission, folks. And it's not about who's president and who's not president. It's not about whether the market's up or the market's down. Our mission is about, do you know Jesus and do you have eternal life? That is our mission. And we need to wake up. We need to see that Jesus is here in our presence, in our midst, ready to heal us, ready to equip us, ready to empower us, and ready to send us out into the world on mission. Just as He did on the night of the Last Supper, He did so again with the travelers on the road to Emmaus. He took a loaf, gave thanks to God. He broke the bread, and their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened to who Jesus was, to what He did for us on the cross, that He did raise from the dead, that He is the Messiah, that He is the one sent from God, the one to give us hope, the one to give us eternal life, to one to bring us salvation. And the Scriptures does not tell us on the road to Emmaus whether He shared a cup with them or not. Some people say implied, of course He did. Others, it doesn't matter. But we know on the night of the Last Supper, He took the cup, gave thanks to God, and He gave it to them and said, drink from this, all of you, for the forgiveness of sins. This is the blood of the new covenant. And here today, our eyes can be opened. Open to how much we need Christ, open to how much we need His love, how much we need His grace and His mercy. But also to open our eyes that He's here with us. That He has empowered us to go do even greater things. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the status quo. I want to see God do great things. But you know how He's going to do great things? Through us. If you're sitting here waiting for somebody else to do a miracle, you're waiting for the wrong thing. God has called you to do miracles and to be a part of it. Let us pray together. Almighty God, as the hymn we sang earlier said, open my eyes that I may see. First of all, God, open our eyes so that we can see that we're not perfect and that we have sinned and that we need to prepare our hearts to receive You. Lord, we confess to You our sins. We confess to You that we have broken Your law. We confess to You that we have not fulfilled our mission. We confess that we have made idols that we worship in this world. We confess that all too often You're not number one in our lives. Lord, forgive us when we don't realize You're here always in our presence, standing before us, calling us back to Your Scriptures. Lord, forgive us not only for the sins we have committed, but for our sins of omission when we have failed to be obedient. when we have failed to follow your commands, when we have failed to go make disciples. But Lord, we know from your scripture that you're holy and just, and that for all those who come in true repentance and humbly ask for your forgiveness, that through your grace and through your love, you have promised to forgive us of our sins and to remove them as far as the east is from the west. Lord, we thank you for the mighty power of Jesus Christ and the atoning blood that he shed for us. Lord, in this moment, open eyes and let them know that they are forgiven, that they are redeemed, and that through you they can be made new, and that we can be a living testimony of the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives on a mission to go and save lives. Lord, we ask through your Holy Spirit a special blessing upon these elements today, that they become more than just the elements of bread and juice, that through the power of your Holy Spirit and by our faithful participation, that by taking these elements, as your church, we become your body, redeemed by your blood for the transformation of this world. This we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the way, there is an Emmaus program, which you probably heard of because Rod does that, but if you haven't ever been on an Emmaus walk, it is very spiritual, very eye-opening. And if you got any questions, let me or Pastor Rod know, and we will point you in that direction. But you see, these two men traveling down the road was caught up in the news of the day. They were caught up with what they saw in front of them, and they forgot about God's word. They forgot about the promises of God, and they forgot about what Jesus wanted them to do and how to live. And I think every day, especially in this season of politics, we easily get caught up in what's going on, don't we? Bengals training camp's going on. Hunter Green threw a great game last night. And we could go on and on and on all of these things, and we don't see that Jesus is standing in front of us. We don't see that he's with us every day. And we often don't see that we have a mission. We're worried about red and blue or Browns versus Bengals or whatever it is in our lives. We get caught up in everything, but do we really see people as saved or unsaved? Promises of God, promises of the world. We need our eyes opened. And we need to see Jesus so that we can be on the right mission for him. So as we leave here today, let our eyes be open. Let us see and experience the presence of God. So like these travelers at Emmaus, we'll go running to share the good news that we have seen Jesus and that they need to see Jesus too. Go now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.